Then there is the point, if we don't know who the winner is going to be, what happens to when the people start to fall out of the race? Because everybody and their uncle's in the race at the moment because they just have a bit of capital behind them. What happens to the data? You know, I've spoken to a number of providers and I don't actually know where the data goes. I've ended up with a short report, which is lovely, but they kept my client conversation. They kept the transcript. It wasn't put into IO. And therefore, what happens when I want to change from provider A to provider B? And then there's this question I have to ask myself about, you know, we all use Microsoft 365 and we pay for that. I did look it up earlier on. We pay about 50 quid if you want Copilot, 365 and Teams. OK, and I have to be honest, the stuff that I've got out of some of these reports, I can get for 30, 40 quid per user, rather than use actually one of these fancy AI, you know, we're financial services AI. Well, the number of times I've had to retype ISA into a report when I do it, it's just unbelievable. So healthy skepticism, hugely concerned about my clients' data because they don't really understand that their voice is being recorded. And that is actually quite a scary thing. This is not your name, address and everything. This is your voice, your opinions, your feelings, and they end up in some space. And it sort of gives sort of a feeling of, it, you know, some of these things I look into see if a client's vulnerable. All of these things I find a little bit scary. And I think when we look at things like our petrol stations or we go into the scales of the supermarket, make some weights and measures come along to make sure the petrol pumps provide a gallon or a litre, whatever you want. If you have a scales at the supermarket, they get checked. But who's checking the AI? And you know, terms of conditions, you know, I don't know how many people use, you know, I use Intelligent Office, but and all these sort of things. But how many times have these firms changed their terms of conditions after a year or 2 years? And who's going to walk away when all your client data is captured there? They're actually creating hostages of client of our client data. So I'm hugely I'm interested. I want simplification, but I want it on my terms. And what we've done is we've actually changed our IT provider. We've gone away from a reactionary firm to actually a firm that's going to teach us how to use our Microsoft kit and see how that develops. Because I think we can do a lot of it for a lot cheaper because they're all asking for the earth. It's not unusual, 150 or £100 per month whilst we are buying all of these things. But these things add up. And who pays for it? The client, just because we can't type the client's had a heart condition or all of these things. So skepticism, all my advice is wanted.
I think that raises some really interesting questions about ROI and how much Lavinia. I'm going to come back to you in a few minutes, if I may, and ask you to give us some examples of how much time you're saving, because I get the impression from some of the things you said you may be significantly. Did I see Kirsten Hawkins put your hand up just now to join the conversation? If not, I'm gonna go to a couple of other people in the chat. Jaitura, you've made a couple of comments in the chat. You've talked about PlannerPal and a couple of other things. Do you want to come in and share your thinking on those?
Yeah, oh, hey,
someone
how are
that's
you?
Good to listen to.
Oh gosh, yeah. Hi everyone. I tested. So actually, in my role, I'm an AI and data project manager. So I'm specifically looking at AI tools that we can integrate in the business. And we did a thorough product analysis of all these, because there's many, right? And they're all kind of doing. They have like slight niches. And for us, PlannerPal was the best for me because of the level they received our feedback and allowed us to customize things. So we have for our annual review meetings, we have a specific type of compliance form along with the meeting notes. And I was able to customize that form so that it captures all that information. And Lavinia, I think like you mentioned, being able to capture what the client says in their own words is fantastic. Capturing or supporting the analysis of vulnerabilities, again, amazing. It really helps our, and I was able to train it on the way that we assess vulnerability, which was really fun, because if anyone's used some of these tools, you might notice that they will give you, everything is a vulnerability for them. So being able to train it and say, hey, this is our vulnerability our policy, and here's how we kind of split vulnerabilities in the way that we address them, and then capture recommendations from the advisor in terms of vulnerability that was declined by a client. Having that information all in one space is very, very fun. And then other notes as well, like our handover sheet to our power planning team, for example, been able to put that in there. And the level of customizability in terms of, I can have static pieces, so I know our advisor is going to go in and still fill in those things. So it's AI supported. That's how I envision actually AI, is it's supporting the advisor. It's really exactly. This balance. You still want the advisor to have autonomy and influence and make sure that they're editing and reviewing those notes. It's actually something I've really worked hard on putting into our processes, is to make sure advisors, you have to edit and review and make sure you're the final, you have the final call, because it's easy to get lazy and think that it's doing everything for you, but it's completely, it's not exactly.
So I think one of the things I'm picking up from you there is it works. Yeah. You can't just take it out of the box and expect it to magically do everything. No. There's configuration, there's training, there's a learning process. I mean, I do think this is something with advice tech generally, and I'm not talking about any particular products, but I see a lot of products. They have fans and they have people who are less than fans. And there are, you know, one or two people particularly who, it's not true everybody, but there are certainly some systems out there that can do a lot, but you really need to learn how to use them. And I think you're saying exactly that, Jai. I'm going to come to Anya Turvey in just a moment, who's made a couple of really good points, but I am going to ask you, just before you go, hello, come back, please. What's your experience been with face-to-face meetings? I mean, if we're doing team sessions like this, that's great. It's easy to record. But do you are your advisors able to use these tools in face-to-face meetings?
Is that a question for me, Ian?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, no, they're using it in face-to-face meetings as well. We've really embedded it into kind of the process of, the first thing you're doing is getting your client's consent. Is it okay if we record this meeting? It's going to allow me to, you know, really be present with you and capture every bit of detail on all of this wonderful stuff. So yes, and the wonderful thing about, for example, PlanPal is, hey, if the advisor has forgotten everything, they just go into their native recorder on their phone, record it as it is, and then they can upload that audio afterwards. So yeah, it's just the same as doing a Teams or an online meeting.
So one other question I'm going to ask you before I move to Anya is, you know, consumer duty reporting. Has AI yet made a difference to how you're doing that? And if so, how?
Okay, has it? I can only, because for me, I only take care of the vulnerability side of things. That's it. that's the only little bit I have involved in it. So no, I don't really have much to say on that.
Okay, probably that's fine. To be fair, you weren't a panelist today, but you always have a great view. So I thought I'd ask. I am going to make that. Anya Turvey. Anya, you made a couple of comments in the chat. Would you like to join and share?
Yes, thank you. So yeah, we're using it. And I think we've just got to accept that whatever decision we make right now will be wrong in the future, and that's okay. It's changing so quickly. And I've seen a favorite, you know, the sort of industry noise about it sort of seems to pick a favorite at different times, and the favorite that was the case a few months ago seems to be almost stalled and dropped. So we've just picked a software. Getting everyone using it is the starting point. Actually, if we need to switch it out in future, then that's fine. It's interesting as to how it's all being priced and adopted, and I think the CRMs have got a lot to learn. I've done a few data migrations in my career, and I do everything I can to avoid it. It's a nightmare when it comes to a CRM. And the contracts that we have with CRMs are often based on having number of years. The idea is it's sticky and we don't move. Some of the AI, most of it's offering some sort of role in monthly. Some of it is even saying if you don't get a 100% return on your investment within the first however long you get your fees back. So I think that's really, really interesting and makes it super competitive. But the starting point is put something in, you know, make sure you've got your due diligence. We nicked all the advisor software stuff. That was really helpful. Start with something, get everyone using it, review, agree that you'll review it every however long. And if you have to switch it, then it's not half as painful as other software.
That, by the way, is what you didn't nick it, Anya. That's what it's there for, to help advisors take decisions. Sorry, I didn't quite catch. What was it you've decided to go with now?
Yeah, so we're using Advisory AI. We did a trial of Aveni first. All right. And then
okay.
Went to Advisory AI.
Good. Joshua Bradshaw, you just mentioned Zoho. I think they're quite an interesting operation, actually, at the moment. I know they were looking to make some moves. There's also some really interesting stuff coming out of Salesforce at the moment as well. Mm-hmm. Let me get back. Lavinia, I said I would come back to you. Can we talk about, is the AI actually taking time out of your business? Peter raised some very, very valid questions about, hang on, the cost of this can all add up, especially if you're having multiple systems.
Okay.
Is it paying back for you? And I need to particularly talk on, you know, we are here to talk about consumer duty reporting, which is a massive obligation. So if you could give a view both generally and particularly in the context of consumer duty reporting, that'd be really valuable.
So for me, I think certainly the systems are made to make a power planner admin life and advisor life a lot easier. So if you spend less time doing what you've got to do, you have more time with your clients. And from that perspective, I love it. Just to give you an example, recently seen a client from my previous firm, came up to me and said, I have X amount to invest. Not a huge amount of money in the great scheme of things, but they wanted it to be invested, long-term money, never to be touched. It's just there for their long-term later life planning. They did really simple planning needs. They don't need anything else, guaranteed income, all that in payment. They don't need anything else doing or wanting. So all you want for this type of client is to be able to generate a report really quickly, simply, provide all that information. I've sent them a link to my portal. They've uploaded all information that I needed from that, completed my fact find, uploaded supported documents. I fed all that information through to the AI, including my quotes, my research, and everything else. I managed to get a report out for a simple investment, no frills, within about 3 hours.
And what would that be in a more traditional process?
Well, I would expect that if I passed it on to an admin power planner, you know, I would see it in a few days. Outsourced power planner, it would be probably about 5 days. Given the way the markets were at the moment, we wanted to be invested yesterday. And that, to me, allowed me to do all that really quickly, simply. I have a full compliant file from consumer duty reporting. My fact find came out with all the ticks and all the boxes that I needed. My vulnerability assessment, my value for money assessment, from the research and everything came out on the back of that, uploaded to X planners I needed to do. And it was all done within less than a day for that, you know, worth of work overall for that one particular client. Now, that in that way, I can provide value for money for that client. Equally, if that client went to another advisor that had very old fashioned processes, it took longer, they probably would be charged a lot more for that simple investment to do because of the time that it could take.
So that's the client process. And if I can come to the consumer duty reporting, where is it making a difference for you there?
So, for example, I use Advisory AI, which is, you know, like I said, a fantastic tool. So from that, the consumer duty reporting, it provides that value assessment, if that makes sense. So within, for example, even within the report to the client, you are able to have those tables in. So you demonstrate value. You demonstrate how your fee affects the investment and all that. So all that is there. All that, it's you know, provided, and then that feeds into the CRM. So you can very easily go to your CRM and just tick the boxes and say, okay, these are the areas that I have addressed for the client, and those are the, this is how I've addressed them, very simply.
That's great, thank you. I'm going to come to each of you in turn now and ask you about lessons learned in your consumer duty reporting. If you were going to start this journey afresh, what would you do differently now? You know, what are the maybe two or three things? Peter, can I come to you first on that one?
Yeah, I think the consumer duty is such a wide thing, so it's quite difficult to capture. And we've used different tools to capture value and thing another. You know, we signed up to Vouch for to get a feeling of our clients' opinions, and I think you know, it does quite a good job in understanding our clients, understanding our process and our proposition in that aspect. I don't think there's very much we can do. I think the most of the issues that I find are around being able to easily get management information to capture the stuff that we need, you know. So if I look at the FCA reporting and stuff that we do now, and I'm doing one of these, what's it called, information requests for wealth management, I couldn't do it without the information that's available on the CRM. It's becoming far easier. I think it's not so much what we've done. I think the industry, especially CRMs, and I don't know how all CRMs work, have been a bit late to the game. This information should have been available perhaps 5 or 6 years ago. It's not necessarily something that we could have done as the users of the technology necessarily. I think the only thing we could do is actually have a very positive outlook to try and at least be at the forefront when new technology comes along, at least engage with it. Because whilst you're engaging it, you can influence it, especially when it's new. If you wait till the end, it's in some respects, it's better to wait till it's well-developed, because you're actually getting something that's ready to use. And I think there's still too many things that are not fully ready to use. But by being involved with it, you can influence what it's going to look like in the future. So for anybody to think about technology, engage with it, because it's going to make a difference. And that's the only thing that we've done it. But I don't think that would be the difference that people can do, is actually engage with it more quickly. You know, there's a new LOA thing on Origo. Engage with it. It's free. You know, there are other ones out there that cost a chunk of money. But if you more people engage, it will accelerate the way you can get free LOAs done. They already connect with all the pension providers and one thing and another. So use that free service, yet somebody else trying to. So engaging early is probably the thing that we've done it, but perhaps not often enough.
And to be fair, those it's a catch 22. I remember being in a conversation with I'm not going to name the platform, but a very large platform a couple of years ago, where they were decrying the Origo service and saying there weren't enough advisors using it, to which my and this platform was going to wait until there were a lot of advisors using it, at which point I pointed out, how could you expect advisors to use it if the platforms weren't connected to it? They could have done more. They're going to be compelled by the data use and access bill, you know, all these things that they've been saying they can't do, or they don't want to do, or whatever. When that legislation hits the statute book and it's now expected to be the summer, there's going to be very real penalties, financial and otherwise, for any organisations that don't meet those obligations. Just before I come back to Lavinia to answer the same questions, please, can I just say to our whole audience, we're coming up, we've got 15 minutes left. Are there any questions that you had hoped would be answered during this session today that haven't yet been answered? If so, would you please put them in the chat right now so that I can ask our experts? Lavinia, coming back to you, lessons learned, what would you not do again?
What would I not do again? Well, we are all learning as we go along, I have to say, especially when it comes to new technology coming out. But certainly I have to agree that early adoption and getting involved in the early stages of a software development, it's really, really important. You know, it allows us to shape the future. Also, it's getting, I suppose, also getting in touch with the regulator and communicating with the regulator, because I think they are doing a lot more nowadays. You know, I'm seeing a lot more of the FCA now than I ever have in my 19-year career. I think I've seen them this past year. I've shook hands with more FCA people than I have in my entire 18 years prior. And that is important, because if we tell them what we want from them and what we expect, and what our difficulties, where we find the difficulties, you know, so for example, CRM providers, I agree, they are late to the game. They should have allowed us to collect this consumer duty information, which we are supposed to be reporting on, years ago. You know, if there isn't a box in the CRM system for us to provide that data, we cannot possibly fill in an FCA return and answer FCA questions on it. Because going through all of our clients and looking back, it would be a nightmare, especially for a small firm. You know, bigger firms, maybe they will have a data officer or somebody that's in charge of such projects. But, you know, for a small firm to take time out from your clients to actually provide that information, it would be really too much to demand, I suppose, especially when they only give you a few weeks to do that. But yes, certainly lessons learned, early adoption. Don't be afraid of systems. Don't be afraid to test systems. Don't be afraid to trial. And yes, while earlier it was mentioned, what happens if providers change, that, you know, that integration and having to move between systems can be incredible. Yes, CRM, I agree. Migrating data, total nightmare. Done it before. Don't want to be there again. However, when it comes to those advisory AI tools, most of the time they do not hold your client data long term. They are there for you to generate the reporting that you need on that particular client. And then the data disappears, it's deleted, it's forgot, if that makes sense. You have the end reports, you can upload them to the systems that you need. That information is no longer required in the great scheme of things. So switching between those kind of tools, you know, like advisory AI, planner, and I've heard others being mentioned today, would be relatively simple.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we are inevitably, there are a huge amount of startup AIs.
Yes.
I'm aware of at least, well, I know we're tracking at least 40 in the UK, and I actually know of another 40 or so that are still in incognito mode. And that's before you start getting, one of the interesting developments in all of this is, I believe for a long time that advice tech should be global. I mean, well, you know, what people want from their financial planners is the same in the UK as it is in the UK, US or anywhere else you came to mention. And it is quite interesting that